Yeah, and you're like 50 miles away.
So these are the kind of wasteful practices, business practices, that we help them straighten out. And as a consequence, there was a lot of we were able to save jobs, and more, we got much more work, repair and overall work, than we had been getting in the past. So that's where we thought we were on the right track. In 1995, I got a call in February of 1995. I got a call from Senator Lieberman's aide, military aide in Washington. He said, "Dave, I'm going to give you some bad news. The Army has placed is going to release the BRAC base closing list tomorrow, and they're putting this facility on the list." And it was no prior inclination that this was going to happen. So we had a lot of meetings. We had meetings in the Stratford Library. We formed a committee of citizens from the governor's office, Congresswoman DeLauro, Congressman Shays, Senator Dodd, Senator Lieberman, the union, a lot of utilities like the United Illuminating Company, to try to do what we could to make a presentation to the Army, to the BRAC Commission. Public presentation May the 5th in New York City. It was on the Carrier Intrepid Museum, where all the facilities in Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, each facility had it allotted time to try to argue to get the facility off the list. At any rate, the commission voted, BRAC voted on June the 23rd, after about less than 1 minute of public debate, to close the Stratford plant. And they said it was going to cost the taxpayers $2 million, and over a 20-year period, they're going to save $80 million. And they're going to take the production capabilities Stratford had and transfer it to Army depots in Anniston, Alabama, for tank engines, and to Corpus Christi, Texas, for helicopter engines. And they could do all this for $2 million. So in the meantime, Allied Signal said, well, what are you going to do? Because there's an option and a provision in the BRAC law for these facilities to be privatized. And matter of fact, that's the Army and the military services encourage the privatization. That's the whole process of turning these facilities over to private use. So we asked Allied Signal, well, we're prepared to work with you to work out a new lease arrangement with the local reuse authority, because the plant was eventually turned over, or would be turned over by the Army to the town of Stratford. And Allied took the position, well, no, we're going to close Stratford. We're going to move the production to Phoenix, Arizona. We're sorry, but we can save like $30 million. And I said, well, wait a minute. You have a contract with us. You committed to keep this work here for at least 3 years. You can't even make that decision until 1997. I said, well, you know, we don't think we have a binding contract, and this is not a what they call a mandatory subject of bargaining. We don't have to talk to you about it. So I filed a charge with the National Labor Relations Board. In late 1995, the company said, well, we're going to close, and start beginning the closing. They were planning, working with the Army, to close the plant. The case went to trial. The National Labor Relations Board issued a complaint in July of 1996. I mean, the company violated the law, as it was not, failed to bargain with the union, and it had to bring the work back from Phoenix to Stratford. The company did not agree with that, so we had a trial. It was a very lengthy trial. Matter of fact, it was one of the longest trials on the National Labor Relations Board in Connecticut, in the National Labor Relations Board office up in Hartford, both Hartford and New York, before an administrative law judge, from September to the end of December in 1996. Judge issued a ruling a year ago, in April of 1997. He ruled basically in our favor, that the company had violated the law because they had refused to bargain with the union over this issue. It's a mandatory subject of bargaining, and they had to bring the work back, recall all the employees, and pay them full back pay, and then bargain with the union. So the company just issued a a proclamation of innocence, said, well, we don't, as far as we're concerned, we're not in violation of the judge's order, and we're moving anyhow, which they did. And the plant, the layoffs began throughout, again, mass layoffs began in 1997. By the end of 1997, local was down to about 130 people. The company, with the support of the Army, and the Army, by the way, what we have found out subsequently during the trial, we came across confidential company documents, and one of them in particular, what we call referred to as the Culligan memo. Culligan, there was a vice president of Allied Signal Engines, Thomas Culligan, from their Washington office, the vice president of government affairs or something, sent this memo to Larry Bossidy, the CEO of Allied Signal, and a couple of other high-ranking Allied Signal officials. And this memo was dated February the 28th, 1995, the day before the BRAC notice. And it was almost gleeful. We found out that we've been put on the BRAC list, and this is going to give us an opportunity to close the Stratford and for political cover. We can use this as, this will provide us political cover for a close to Stratford and relocate production to Phoenix, Arizona, and get the Army to pay for it. Now keep in mind, Congress and the President and the BRAC said they're going to close this for $2 million and they're going to move it to the Army depots in Anniston, Alabama and Corpus Christi, Texas. Nothing about Allied Signal's plant in Phoenix, Arizona. But that's exactly what happened. They totally circumvented the law. The I wrote letters. Rosa Doro wrote letters. It's interesting that in the BRAC memo, in the Culligan memo rather, he said we're probably going to be contacted by Senator Dodd, Senator Lieberman, and Congresswoman Doro about looking for ways to get the plant off the BRAC list. And our response, say nothing more than we are surprised, and he put surprise in quotation marks. I mean, this was a smoking gun. This was the whole plan, and we introduced it during the trial, and the company president they brought back from Europe to test it. The lawyers asked him about it, and he was turned red as a beet. He was totally flabbergasted. He denied it. Then he had to read it into the record. You know, and that was just one of many, many incriminating documents that we uncovered. Our agreement in this competitive agreement, when the company asked us to support their request for funding, that was their only out. There was a clause in this section 6 of this agreement that if they did not receive the funding, the standby funding for tank engine production, in the next federal budget hereafter enacted. Now that was signed in July of 1994. Next federal budget begins October 1st, 1995. We were clearly talking about the 1995 budget. The Congress did approve $47.5 million. So we filled all the commitments of the contract. We said to the company, you have no basis for terminating this contract. The company tried to argue they did argue during the trial that, well, it wasn't just 1 year funding, it was any year. And unfortunately, in that particular part of the case, the judge, as sometimes they do, said, well, both sides, both the union and the company, had an equally plausible interpretations of this section 6, so I'm calling it a draw. Our lawyers and the government lawyers were absolutely flabbergasted, and that's being appealed by the National Labor Relations Board.
Well, yeah, it's a draw, but it lets them do what they want to do.
In the meantime, what we did, we got into bargaining last spring for the contract, which expired in last June of 1997, and starting in April, the company came to the bargaining table with a new argument, very ingenious. Said, well, we have made a tentative decision to close Stratford and relocate production to Phoenix. Not a permanent decision. We're prepared to bargain with you over this decision. Well, has this decision got anything to do with the case you just lost? Oh, no, this is a new one. This is totally unrelated to that. This is because we have discovered that we have excess capacity, not in Stratford, but in Phoenix. And we can consolidate all this production under one tent in Phoenix, Arizona, the non-union plant.
The non-union
naturally,
tents,
lower wages, lower benefits. We had documents showing there was at least a $3 or $4 an hour wage differential, saying nothing about benefits, pensions and things that we had that they didn't in Phoenix. So the company, during 1997, we bargained with them, attempted to bargain with them. And the law requires both parties to bargain in good faith, and in order to try to avoid being charged with unfair labor practice, failing to bargain in good faith. So they went through the motions, and it's like telling us, listen, we're moving because we don't like the traffic on I-95, but union will be prepared to bargain with you over that issue. If you can do something about that, we'll reconsider this so-called tentative decision. And that was the sophisticated evasion of the National Labor Relations Act. So we went through this farce for 2 months. Finally, on the contract expired last June the 6th. June the 13th, they marched in. That day, in the afternoon, we were supposed to have a meeting to discuss the economics. The union had made proposals, concessionary proposals. So listen, we can up to as much as $25 million. We showed them how they could save by staying here in Stratford, including wage concessions, up to substantial wage concessions, things like benefits. But we knew no matter what they did, they were not going to stay. They were just a farce. They were not interested in staying in Stratford, because they got the Army to pay up to $100 million to pay for the relocation of this business to Phoenix, Arizona. Yes. And so they came in, marched in on June the 13th last year, and said, well, Union Local 1010, we're no longer going to talk to you about this decision bargaining anymore. Our decision is now final. You had not been able to address our needs of excess capacity in Phoenix. So we're declaring the bargaining is over. We're at a bargaining impasse. Well, we're just going to implement it, and we'll see you later.
Right.
So we tried to get under the law, under the National Labor Relations Act, as a provision, Section 10J, we filed for an injunction with Washington, with the General Counsel, last June, within a week or two, a couple weeks after that. I went down in October of 1997. I met with the General Counsel, the National Labor Relations Board in Washington, with our attorney and regional director of the UAW here in Connecticut. And we met for about 3 hours. We went over the whole case. They grilled us. They put us through the paces, told them what it was all about. And they seemed to be very, very supportive of us. They knew we had got screwed. And we were able to prove it. We were able to show by documents, company documents, Army documents. But there was a lot of political pressure on the board to back off by these various corporations were putting political pressure through the Republicans in Congress, Gingrich and the crew. As a matter of fact, the year before that, they had cut the National Labor Relations Board's federal budget by 30%. And that was trying to get them to back off using injunctions against employers, some of the worst employers, Caterpillar, the Detroit newspapers that had a long strike.
Yeah.
As a consequence, they were able to checkmate the union. And the board, because of this kind of pressure, and that general counsel did not act. We went down again in December of that year, or last year, and basically what the board was trying to do to avoid making a ruling on this case, obviously reluctant to do, trying to broker, well, why don't you and the company, you and the company, sit down and work something out? So we'll be happy to, but they had already closed the plant. Our bargaining leverage has been totally eroded, which is illegal. Yeah. And and the board, says, well, what do you want from us? As a matter of fact, there was an article in the paper about 2 months ago where the general counsel submitted his letter. He withdrew his nomination to President Clinton for a reappointment of the general counsel because of the political pressure by Trent Lott and all the Republicans that were responding to the employers.
Sure.
To get them to back off of injunctions. So that's where we're at. The company, with that, the case is still pending on appeal. The company, to ratchet up the pressure on the union, the effects bargaining agreement, which we had negotiated in 1994, that provided severance pay, 45 hours pay for each year's service. It provided 6 months of medical for anybody laid off. It provided for 2 years of tuition assistance for people laid off or retired. They canceled that in June. And so we've had about 500 local 1010 members laid off since last June without any severance, without any of these benefits. So that's, the company says, well, if you withdraw your legal case, we'll be prepared to consider re-implementing this or something to it. And so last September, past January, I said, well, what are you prepared to do? You tell us what you'll do, and we'll consider it if we can negotiate a settlement. He said, well, you withdraw your case, and when we'll talk. It doesn't work. Put something on a table that I can take back to the membership. We're at a stalemate over that right now.
Essentially, they're saying withdraw your case and we'll talk to you.
Yeah,
and maybe
trust us. We already screwed you. and it's true. We have the Army. There was an audit by the Army in 1996. The Army Inspector General audited the BRAC process. Because of Rosa Duaro, we provided Rosa with all the information. Says Rosa, they're stealing this factory from Stratford, Connecticut. They ought to be in jail. And we provided all the documents to Congresswoman Duaro. The plant is in her district, and she worked with Senator Dodd, Senator Lieberman, and they requested an Army audit. The Army came back and substantiated that. The Army, basically most of the claims that we made, although they really lowballed the cost. They said, well, it's instead of $2 million, it's $9.8 million. But the Allied never submitted an estimate of the cost to relocate. And they never ever dealt with the issue of where this work was going. It wasn't supposed to. Congress didn't approve it to go to Phoenix. So that audit, when that came out, as critical as that was of the Army and Allied, it wasn't enough. So Senator Dodd, Senator Lieberman, and Rose Thoreau sent a letter to the Department of Defense Inspector General, which is a higher level in the military bureaucracy, and they asked for another audit. Let's just look at it. The Army said, the Department of Defense says, yes, we agree with you, but nothing was ever done. This was over a year ago. Some Assistant Secretary of Defense finally sent me a letter, because I sent a letter to Secretary of Defense Perry. And he sent, through the chain of command, some Assistant Secretary of the Army sent me a letter in October of 1996. And, well, our cost estimates now are $23 million, which is 10 times what. And he disregarded that. We know that the costs are well over $100 million. And then where the Army used to get $4 million a year rent from for productive plant. Use of the factory, the machinery in the plant. Now, after they vacated it, Allied found that there was another little goodie there. That they got what they called an idle facilities contract. The Army paid them $4.25 a square foot for all idle space to, quote, maintain it. So they were getting, instead of the Army getting money, now they were paying Allied Signal for over 700,000 square feet, about $3.5 million a year. So Allied, listen, the quicker we get out of here, the more we're going to make money at it. Sure. We're getting money from an empty factory in Stratford, and we got the Army
paying
for the total relocation. The Army built them a brand new facility. One component of the tank engine is what they call a recuperator. Every engine needs them, or a critical part of the engine. They recirculate all the gases. And they had a special building was housed in Stratford, Building 10. Had a huge minster press, big press, laser welding machines, very complicated, involved process. Allied got the Army to build them a new factory, a new facility down in Anniston, Alabama, for their exclusive use to relocate. And the Army cost about $15 million to build and transport all that production equipment for recuperators down in Anniston, Alabama, which was in violation of the law, the BRAC law. The Army also agreed to turn over all the tooling, hundreds of millions of dollars of tooling for all the engines, the tank engines, the helicopter engines, just gave it to Allied Signal. And that tooling, particularly the helicopter engines, can be used to make commercial products, the commercial engines. So, at any rate, that's
where we are as of right
that's
now?
That's where we're at right now. The plant, we are down to about 30 local 1010 employees, including myself. And the plant will be totally closed. It's anticipated by the end of September. Right now, there's no production. All the machinery was sold at auction the first of the year. The plant's a huge, empty building. To me, it's very depressing to have to go in there every day. A lot of ghosts,
yeah,
a lot of
sure.
years, a lot of people.